You can help with the guests and all the rest. And we'll never stop till we take it to the top.
Hello there. Ryman Richie Phillips here, broadcasting from an undisclosed location deep in the bowels of a Capital Region basement in a homemade podcast studio between the furnace and the hot water heater. This is Take It to the Top, or actually I'm going to call it The Top for short because the rest of it wouldn't fit on the logo. This is the podcast where we pick the topics together. This is my master plan here. We pick the common gripes that we may have between us. We pool our resources together to get the guests. That's right. And in fact, when we get these guests, you, my friends, will be asking the questions. I'm just going to be the messenger. You can post your questions as we go along on my Facebook page, which is at Richie Phillips. I also plan to do some song parodies of what's going on in the news. But for my first podcast, I want to spend as much time as possible with my guests because I'm really, really excited that I have a guest. I would love to introduce to you Mariah Formica, who was actually a junior at Shaker High School in upstate New York here, in Latham, New York. She was on season 13 of The Voice on NBC, and just to hear one note out of her mouth, and you'll know why she was on The Voice, and it's good to have her voice on my first podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, my little interview here with Mariah Formica. Well, folks, you know her, you love her, everybody in America loved her from The Voice on NBC. What a thing to have on your resume. She's from The Voice on NBC. Ladies and gentlemen, Mariah Formica, it's so great to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I even wrote you a little intro. Here we go. It's true, you're just 16 years old with a career that is on fire. You're our first choice. You're from The Voice, and we call this girl Mariah. Mariah. Come on, everybody. Oh, no. I guess I never would have made it on The Voice. No.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to have to send that to me. That is so fantastic.
I'm not even going to charge you. Well, first off, I want to be the 8 billionth person, and I know I'm really late to the game here, congratulating you on what an amazing finish you had. I was glued to my TV.
So
oh my God.
Thank you.
And I'm going to start with a complaint, and it's not against you. I saw this after watching you and your amazing finish on there. One of the TV stations, they had a headline that said Mariah Formica fails to advance, and I hit my hand on the desk. I said, "You didn't fail anything. You got that far? It's incredible. You can't consider that a failure. That's an incredible success."
Yeah, I didn't see that. That probably would have pushed my buttons a little bit.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I don't. But you know what? It's one station. I honestly don't care. But you know, that is ridiculous. I wouldn't say that about anybody. You know, that
right.
Somebody fails or whatever, because they don't see, you know, what you have to go through just to even get to your blind audition. You know, behind the scenes. No way that it could be a fail.
That's right. And before we get to the history of the whole process here, you're on hiatus now, right? I mean, you have a week off. You're kind of in between gigs?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just interested, how far in advance right now, without giving away what you're planning to do, I know you're not going to do that, but how far in advance is your schedule mapped out right now? I mean, is your calendar just blown up?
Yeah, I mean, scattered throughout the whole entire, at least up until the summer. No, actually into the summer. There are some scattered dates out there, and you know, tomorrow I have a show, and January 26th I have a show, and just so right now it's kind of all scattered. But like, you know, we have a show in LA at the Whiskey, and
oh,
then
cool,
yeah, it's the Times Union Center. I mean, we have some really good shows coming up, and then we might go to Sturgis in South Dakota this summer. So
now, does The Voice help you? Like at the end of the show, do they just set you free and let you plan your career on your own, or do they give you? I'm not talking about the judges. I'm talking about like the producers of the show. Do they give you contacts to help you continue, or are you really on your own trying to find agents and doing all these things yourself?
Well, we have for the first, you know, couple of weeks after you get eliminated or whatever, you have some interviews that they set up for you and for people, because like in order for people that want to interview you, they have to go through them first.
Okay, right.
But as for right now, I mean, I'm pretty much on my own. And, you know, I think the show has gotten me all I need right now for exposure. So I guess people are just kind of pouring in.
It's got to be overwhelming, though. Like, how do you start?
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it's a little overwhelming, but I got to say, you know, I would not know what to do without my dad or my producer. Because my dad is like he's my dad, but he's also my manager.
Uh-huh.
So he deals with everything, and him and my producer kind of go, I mean, mostly it's my dad, but if he needs a second opinion, he'll go to my producer or whatever, and they'll kind of just talk things out. So luckily, since I'm only 17, I don't really have a part in setting all the interviews up and whatever. So I am just so thankful for my dad for that.
Now, does he have any experience in doing this, or is he just kind of thrown into the fire?
Yeah, he was kind of just thrown in, you know, from years ago. I mean, I don't, you know, some people aren't aware, but I had a little bit of a career going even before I was on The Voice. So, you know, with Michael Sweet and all that kind of stuff. So people were, I had a tiny little fan base, you know, growing.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad would, and we would constantly get offers and stuff. So my dad would be used to that, but not on any kind of level, that it's been since The Voice.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, actually, that's my next question as well, going back to your history. I know, like, Taylor Swift got her start, I think she was 9 years old, and she started doing musical theater and so forth. How far back does this go? When did you first realize that you wanted to do this for a living?
Great question. I started playing guitar. Guitar was my first thing, my first love. And I started playing guitar when I was about 5 or 6, and then I started singing when I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Wow.
And at about 11 or 12, I got the awesome opportunity to play guitar for my school choir for 5th and 6th grade. And that was kind of when I realized, I was like, you know, I really like performing for people. But then I also got to do this little band program at my producer's music school he has. And they have like a little band program that they set up for the kids, and they put them in groups together. And you can it's a really cool outlet for you to do your passion, and you can play whatever song you want, and it's really awesome. And then they have like little showcases at the end of each band session. So we would go play like a bowling alley or whatever. And after that program, playing in a band at 11 years old, I really felt that that's what I was supposed to do, and that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Boy, they had some great influence on you. They should use you in their advertisements.
Oh, yeah. I'm always trying to, you know, give back to him. And I mean, it's a great place. I mean,
what's the place?
It's called Modern Day Music in Clifton Park, New York. It's just a great, great place, you know?
It's tremendous.
And right. And it gives them a chance to explore, you know, do I really want to do this? And so I just really appreciate that. It's so important for kids to have an outlet like that.
Now, who are your musical influences? In fact, this question really doesn't come from me. I put on Facebook for people to contribute questions to you, and Julia Paris asked that question. Who was your influence? Shania Twain was Taylor Swift's influence, for example. Who was yours?
I guess I really, what got me into guitar, I pretty much, when I was like 5 or 6 or 7, I locked myself in my room and would just play Aerosmith all day, every single day. So that's a huge musical influence for me when it comes to just my overall love of music. But
right. As
far as like my style, my musical style and stuff, I guess Evanescence and Hailstorm would be a big influence. And I know a lot of people aren't very surprised when they hear that.
Yeah.
And I really love Daughtry, and I love Korn. I love In This Moment. Just so many bands that I think all collectively have like an influence, whether it's just inspiration or an influence on my style or whatever. I've kind of been influenced by all those bands.
But it's funny, the songs that you picked on The Voice were very old school for you, right? I mean, Heart.
Yes, and I love Heart too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love I just love all of that. My dad raised me on like 80s and even some 70s stuff, and I just kind of grew up loving it. And so those kind of bands like Heart, they always stay close to my heart.
Close to your heart, exactly.
No pun intended.
More fun in a moment, but first, are you getting married, having an anniversary or retirement celebration? Are you planning a conference? Well, I can DJ it. I can also play keyboards for your cocktail hour, even write a custom song for you. For testimonials, for ideas, go to my website at hirerichie.com. Can't remember it? Hit the jingle.
HireRichie.com.
That's hirerichie.com.
So I really am so interested in the process of you getting on The Voice. So you get in the car with your father, I assume, and you go where to try out in the beginning? Where did you go? Was it New York City?
Yeah, we went to New York City. Yeah, it was me, my mom, and my brother, and my dad, of course, and it was a terrible, the roads were terrible. It was a big snowstorm. But we were like, you know, this is not stopping us. So yeah, we drove to New York City, and that was the first audition that kind of got things going.
But there are auditions before the blind auditions, right? These are some of the things that you really don't see on TV. What happens even before the blind auditions? You're corralled in a room with 500 other people, or?
Well, no, actually the thing is I got a private audition, which means that I didn't have to go through all the lines of people, because they had reached out to my dad and said, hey, we found you on YouTube and we really want her to try out, so we'll give you a private audition.
You're kidding. That's how they found you, was just a video that you put on YouTube?
Yeah.
You didn't reach out with that video?
No, we didn't reach out, because I actually was extremely against shows like that before I got the offer, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And I actually had to take a couple weeks to think about whether I wanted to do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's funny, right?
Isn't that amazing?
And then I figured, how stupid would it be? I'm 16 years old. I was 16 at the time. How stupid would it be if I didn't take this opportunity? I'm 16. It's what I want to do, and I'm so glad that I took the opportunity, because...
Yeah.
Now, you know, I love the show, I love the network, and we're all like a little family, and it was the best experience.
Now, did you watch American Idol when it was on as well? Or it's still on?
Yes, I did. I did, yeah.
I know this is
American Idol people.
Just personal opinion, because I play as well. I play keyboards and so forth. And I just think The Voice is such a more positive show than the original American Idol, where they would ridicule you in the Simon Cowell phase.
Oh my gosh, yes. I totally agree. And that's one of the reasons why I love The Voice so much.
Yeah.
And NBC as a whole entire network. Because, you know, American Idol, it always seemed, a lot of the time, you know, I would see a lot of the contestants, and a lot of them seemed to have, they were either mentally handicapped and didn't really understand what was going on, and then they'd be made a fool of themselves.
Exactly.
And it's just really mean, actually. It's just, you know, dragging people all out. And I know that a lot of the times they just edit things to make people look bad on TV. And that's the thing, is NBC will never make you look bad on TV.
Right. Very supportive.
They swore that from the day we got into LA, you know, to the time I was eliminated off the show, they will never make you look bad on TV.
And you can see how anxious the judges get, even at the end of, you know, having to make a choice between one and another. Like Miley Cyrus looks like she's going to have a nervous breakdown. You can tell she really cares.
She's stress quit. She has bad stress sweat. It's so funny.
So I'm just kind of fast forwarding into this whole thing. You go to the blind auditions. The first buzzer, I watched all these YouTube videos again to see it one more time. The first buzzer and the first turnaround was Miley. She stands up. What went on in your mind? I can't even imagine you continuing to sing the song, the heart song that you did. Didn't you like blank out? How do you concentrate on the song when you see one of the judges turn around? You must have been so excited.
It's definitely a relief when the first coach turns around. But
right.
I don't know. I just didn't have that feeling like, oh my gosh, Miley Cyrus. Like, I don't know. I was just kind of like, okay, awesome. I got one coach on my side. Let's try and see if we can get the other three and just keep on playing my song.
That's a great attitude to have. You weren't stuck.
Yeah, I was just so in my zone and in my element that I don't think that I was really paying attention much, you know, to everything that was going on. I didn't really have the chance to take in fully what was happening.
Right. And some of their comments, I really wish I could replay the comments, but I think I'd get in trouble because of copyright, right? I'm not allowed to steal audio from the show. I don't want to get into that my very first episode here, but I'm just going to I'm just going to say what Blake mentioned. Blake said, it's not fair that God sprinkled all the talent on you and didn't give it to other people, right? He said something to that, which I thought was incredible. Then Adam Levine says, do you remember what Adam Levine said?
All I remember is a pint-sized powerhouse.
Yep. He said that. And he said, you're the most likely on this show to become a star. And then...
Yes, he did say that.
Yep. And J-Hud Productions over there said, great knowledge of rock and roll, quote, the next great rock and roll singer. Just amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing you did on the show.
Yeah, that was incredible. To hear them say that was, again, you know, even at that point, I wasn't really taking in what was happening.
Right.
But now that I have the chance to kind of reflect on all their comments, yeah, that's incredible that they would say something like that. They would think so highly of me to say something. That is the next big female rocker. That's a pretty big thing to say. You don't just throw that out at somebody. So the fact that they would say that and have that much faith in me is incredible.
Listen, if they said that about me, I would make a recording of that and play it like on an endless loop in my car for hours on end. So now the battle rounds. This is another question I've just been dying to ask. How long did it take you and Shiloh Gold, right? That's the person
Yes.
How long did it take you to practice what you were going to do on stage, to do your battle round? They don't really show you that. They show you working with the judges and them giving you tips.
Right.
But there's got to be an amazing amount of work for you to polish that act with her on stage. What's that process like?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You know, at least a few weeks in advance. There's a room that you go into, and there's masking tape that marks the diamond. The stage is in the shape of like a rhombus or a diamond or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so the room just has masking tape that's in the shape of the stage. So we would just go and practice on that and have our marks there and just figure out what we were going to do on stage. That was the staging side of it. And then for the vocal arrangements, I guess we would always have vocal lessons with our vocal coach and kind of figure out our vocal arrangements, what we wanted to do with the song there and whatever. And then, of course, Miley would help us with the arrangements and stuff.
And this is kind of an aside, but that's another thing about Miley Cyrus. She has had this stereotype of being a, I hate to say the word, not a bimbo, but, you know, like that stage.
Right.
And she has turned out, I think, to be, you can tell what a professional she really is. And she knows her stuff. She knows music, don't you think?
Yeah. She's,
They all do, obviously. But.
And, you know, it's not even just the fact that she's, like, you know, polished like that. It's just she is so genuine, and you can really tell that she cares.
Exactly.
I mean, she cares about her team. She's the most invested coach there.
You could feel it. You could see it on TV.
Say it, everybody says, we can always reach out to her if we have a question. She's always there. So, yes, I really hate that. I hate seeing, like, comments that are like, why would you pick Miley? You know, that's not somebody who you want to be a role model to you and stuff and whatever. And I'm just like, you know, I mean, first of all, I'm 17 years old. I'm not the age where you need to have a role model anymore.
Right, exactly.
But also, she's really not what you think. Yeah, she went through a phase of a couple of years of being that crazy, whatever she's doing with the wrecking ball. But gosh, give her a chance. I mean, all these people, the things that they say about her are disgusting.
Well, there's the saying, she's crazy like a fox. Even back then, when she was crazy, she knew exactly what she was doing. She's very smart. You could tell.
She did.
Oh,
she did.
Absolutely.
She is very smart.
So now I'm jumping to the final round of the playoffs. You sing World Without You.
Yeah.
And then Miley, and you could see again how distraught she was, but she had to pick only three people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of the line for you, technically, there, right? Now, here comes a question. The reason I'm bringing this all up, a question from a Cindy Galpin on Facebook. She said, please ask Mariah what she thinks she could have done differently to stay on The Voice. Is there anything you could have done differently?
Well, I'm going to be honest, and this is not coming from a cocky place at all.
Right.
But no, I don't think I could have done anything differently. I went out there every single week and gave it my best. You know, I performed completely from my heart. I left everything on the stage, and I gave it 100% myself.
So you certainly did.
And that's what you need on this show. No, there's nothing that I couldn't have done differently because I never held back, you know?
You could tell you definitely didn't hold back. I think she could only pick three people.
And, you know, the other thing is, when I sang that song, I was very sick. I was extremely sick. I mean, before I went on stage, I couldn't even talk. You couldn't hear my voice. So I tried my best to sing that song, you know, in the midst of being sick.
Oh, how did you do that with your power?
Yeah, it's a lot of endurance in that process. You're pretty much singing every day. Your voice is shot a lot of the time. That just goes to, you know, contribute to the reasons as to why. No, I don't think that I could have done anything differently.
Now, here's another thing, and I could go on for hours with you here. I hope I'm not holding you back.
No, not at all.
You released an EP, an extended play thing, in the midst of all this. So how does that happen? That doesn't come out of thin air. They have you in a studio and you're on your off hours and recording an album? Or did that happen afterwards?
Well, the EP I released a long time before I was even on The Voice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the EP I released when I was 14. And I wrote all those songs from the time I was in fifth grade to eighth grade.
Wow.
And so I wrote those songs, and then I figured, I want to put together maybe not a full album, but, you know, we just did an EP. And so we recorded those songs, and I ended up recording them when I started recording them when I was 12. I ended up finishing it when I was about 14, and then we released it when I was 14. Mm-hmm, yeah. So, yeah, we recorded that, and then, you know, The Voice came.
Right. I know your style. You're a rocker style, I guess is the best way to put it. If somebody asked you to do an album of ballads, would you be interested in that? I could still hear you doing an incredible job with ballads as well.
I think I would love to do I Surrender by Celine Dion.
Oh, you know, yeah, you could tackle that.
Like, I can picture that song. Like, I can picture myself making that song my own into, like, a rock ballad kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to cover that song. It would be so cool to cover that song.
I would love to hear that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is you're going to be playing the Times Union Center.
Yeah, yep.
With the great, iconic James Taylor.
Yes.
And John Legend as well. You couldn't be farther away musically from James Taylor. I mean, James Taylor is the complete polar opposite of you. Do you like James Taylor's music? I'm such a big fan of James Taylor. Do you like his stuff?
I really, really respect him, and he is iconic, you know?
I hate to say this, but if I was James Taylor, I'm not too sure I'd want to follow you.
Oh my gosh, stop.
No, I mean, you have these powerful songs, and then James Taylor comes on. I think it should be the opposite. You should be the closing act.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I guess with him, the way that we wanted to tackle that, because when we got the offer to do that,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I was like, yes, we're doing it. Because that's just, I mean, this is the biggest show that I've played so far.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was such a humbling opportunity. So I was then the next thing that we would think was, okay, how are we going to tackle this? Because should we have my band? Should we just do acoustic? Because you're right, James Taylor, Mariah Farmiga, polar opposites.
Right.
But then we decided, you know, let's just do acoustic and we'll just kind of do things that way. So I'm just going to be there acoustically.
Oh.
And hopefully that'll appeal more to the crowd that's there.
Yeah, that's what I meant by you closing. Okay.
Right.
Now I understand. Well, this has been fantastic. I have one last question from a Chelsea Egan. She asked this question on Facebook. Very important question. What is a podcast? I thought that was really funny because I was advertising that I'm doing a podcast, and she wrote, "What the heck is a podcast?" I think there's still people that don't know what that is. So I guess I have to explain myself a little more. I want to finish off by saying that you actually are my inspiration.
Thank you so much.
You really are, because when I think about it, you at your age, in the beginning of your career, you sat down and said, you know something? I'm going to try out for The Voice, which is such a huge goal. And me, at the end of my career, I've had 29 years in radio, but I said to myself, you know something? I've always wanted to do my own show just for the heck of it. I've always wanted to host something, because I was always the co-host. I was never really the host. I said, darn it, I'm going to do this. And so you really have inspired me to just take the bull by the horns and do something.
Thank you so much.
No, I'm serious.
That makes everything, like, that's the kind of thing that I love to hear, like, whenever I'm having a hard day or whatever, and it's just like, oh, well, I don't have to get up and go to this and that.
Right.
And then it's like, hearing things like that just make it all worthwhile. So thank you so much.
Well, you can't even imagine all the young people, you know, starting out in music that you've inspired just by watching that show. I'm sure there's people right now singing in the shower going, I'm going to be just like Mariah. Well, thank you so much for taking your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It was great.
I mean, thank you so much for thinking of me to be on your first episode.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much.
Well, the name of my show here is Take It to the Top, and I think I just did.
Take it to the top.
Well, there you go. My very, very first interview on my very, very first podcast, and I thank her so much. January the 26th at the Times Union Center, she's going to be with the legendary John Legend and the equally legendary James Taylor. I'm going to that show. I don't know about you. And lo and behold, I do have a few extra minutes here, so I'm going to include a song parody that I did that rhymed all the events for 2017, this being 2018, lest we not forget a year that maybe is worthwhile forgetting, because there were a lot of bad things that happened, I thought. I don't know about you. It was really hard to find the funny. I have done 30 of these songs. I started writing them in 1988 when I was on one radio station before I was on WGNA, and I continued to write one every single year. I have 30 of them in my drawer somewhere. This is the 30th one. Here we go.
Another kit for William and Katie. Look who screwed up, Warren Beatty. iPhone 10, looking fine. Whatever happened to iPhone 9? Dow Jones average, it's insane. They just dragged somebody off of a plane. Colbert starting to rule late night. Makes Jimmy Fallon really uptight. CNN, breaking news.
It's all fake, none of it's true.
Honesty, that's what we're needing.
Can't talk now, busy tweeting.
Those darn hackers. Every day another virus. The Voice on TV. Blake, J-Hut, Miley Cyrus.
Divorce Lawyers on Reserve, Brangelina and Bennifer. Radio Shack and Sears are gone.
Thanks a lot, Amazon.
What is Kim Jong's evil plan?
Trump just called him Rocket Man.
He's got nukes, he knows that.
Now he called him short and fat.
Roy Moore, Kevin Spacey.
Oh my God, these guys need help.
Senator Al Franken,
he wants to investigate himself. At least there aren't any more.
Louis C.K., what have you done?
How about POTUS 41?
Weinstein, Charlie Rose. Who's next? Who the heck knows?
Time to take another look.
The Clintons might not be off the hook.
A year filled with cataclysms, hurricanes, earthquakes, terrorism. And there's more bad news we hate to hear. Everyone we lost this year.
Mel Tillis, Chuck Berry, Dick Van Dyke's partner Mary,
Jerry Lewis, OMG,
and now David Cassidy,
Hugh Hefner, the Playboy, a man,
Walter Becker from Steely Dan,
Don Rickles, you gotta respect,
the last of the politically incorrect,
Fats Domino, Tom Petty,
haven't we had enough already?
The Rhinestone Cowboy, he was the best,
Charlie Manson,
we could care less.
Football players, they were kneeling.
Next year will be better, I've got a strong feeling. And to wrap things up, in conclusion,
do you think the Russians are guilty of collusion?
Very weird year, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Here's to an awesome 2018!
Time is marching on. Time is marching on.
Hey!
Time is marching on. Time is marching on.
Hey!
Time is marching on.
I'm going to wait for the iPhone 12. Doesn't anybody know how to count anymore?
Yeah, and speaking of phones, I ended the parody talking about the phone. I wrote this little ditty way before Apple's admission that they slowed down the performance of your phone purposely. You've heard the story about that. That's going to be the subject of my next song parody because I'm a little perturbed about that whole thing. I'm sure you probably are too. And if anything upsets you between now and the next time I do a podcast, why don't you let me know about it? Just post your message on my Facebook page, at Richie Phillips. That's probably the easiest way to get me. And I will see you next time on...
Take it to the top. To the top. Not the bottom of the top. To the top. To the top.
Take It to the Top is a Me, Myself, and I production in association with absolutely nobody else. I support this podcast to feed my 9 children and other extended family members by plugging my own services. I hope you don't mind because I hate annoying commercials just as much as the next person. But I do hope you will consider me seriously for all your entertainment needs, be it DJing or a stand-up comedy act with my keyboard for a conference or a business meeting. If you have a retirement function going on or an anniversary that you would like to throw a party for, I would love to fill your musical needs. Just email me at richie1077@gmail.com or again, go to my Facebook page at Richie Phillips and leave me a message and I'll get back to you. Thank you. End of annoying commercial.